Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for taking the time to watch and listen today. I'm delighted to have been joined today by the Minister of Health and Social Care, David Ashford MHK, and our Director of Public Health, Dr. Henrietta Ewart. As many of you will be aware, since my last update, our community has tragically endured a further death from COVID-19. Myself and David extend our sincere condolences to their family and friends, and I'm sure all our thoughts are with them at this most difficult time. It takes the loss of life from the virus in the Isle of Man to 25, reminding us of the continued danger COVID-19 poses to our island and our community, particularly those who are the most vulnerable. This past week, we have detected 6 new cases of COVID-19 in the Isle of Man. The number of active cases is 9, meaning that we have 2 new cases. Now, I know that there has been debates about these most recent cases and whether it means that the virus is spreading in our community. Using the definition of community transmission as set out by the World Health Organization is one thing, but we must, of course, bear in mind what this terminology means to you, the public. I have always set out to be honest with you at these briefings, so I do not intend to quibble over semantics and technical definitions. To be clear, yes, some of this week's COVID-19 cases have come about from on-island transmission of the virus. It is always a concern, although no surprise, to see sporadic cases of the virus being detected on our island as a result of people travelling here. That we have seen a continued trickle of cases being detected demonstrates the prevalence of the virus in the United Kingdom and further afield. What we have seen this week with new cases can be described as a cluster, broadly similar to what happened in Guernsey a few weeks ago that led to the air bridge being suspended. However, unlike the cluster in Guernsey, we have been able to identify the source. What I can assure you is that each and every case that has been detected this week is in the same chain of transmission which can be traced back to someone travelling to our island who has unknowingly carried the virus with them. All of the high-risk contacts have been traced and are now self-isolating for 14 days. Self-isolation is mandatory, even in the event of a negative test result, as high-risk contacts could be incubating the virus and therefore not yet showing a positive test case or test result for the virus. This is why the gold standard of 14 days isolation and adhering to it is so important. At the moment, anyone travelling to the island must self-isolate, whether that's for 14 days at home or for visiting key workers, by following a number of very strict rules to enable them to safely undertake the work that they have been brought to the island to carry out. What has not been required when someone travels to the island, however, is for other members of their household here on the island to self-isolate. To date, we have not seen any spread as a result of not making whole households isolate. But given the resurgence of the virus in the United Kingdom, the second lockdown in England, and the numbers of students we are expecting to see return to the coming weeks, the Council of Ministers has been considering whether the policy of not requiring whole households to isolate remains the right approach. We have sought advice from Public Health and the Clinical Advisory Group. Their advice and recommendations was clear. Given the factors I've just listed, we should now seek to introduce whole household isolation for anyone travelling to our island. The Council of Ministers has taken this advice and recommendation on board and has agreed that from 1 minute past midnight next Thursday, the 19th of November, as well as anyone travelling to the island having to self-isolate for 14 days, everyone in their household will have to do likewise as a precaution. Now, some of you will welcome this move and some of you may not. As I've said time and again, the Council of Ministers seeks to balance risk. Given the prevalence of the virus in the UK at the moment and the increase in travel-related cases here, the Council of Ministers has determined that, for now, This change in approach is the most appropriate course of action to keep our community safe. We will review this position, as we do with all our policies, every 2 weeks. The Council of Ministers is acutely aware that this change may be difficult for some households and families. It may result in children having to be off school and people having to be absent from work. We want to make this easier, and so I can announce that a one-off package of support will be available to offer alternative accommodation to returning residents to avoid whole households having to self-isolate. How will this work? Government will seek to establish a framework with tourist accommodation providers from the private sector and will make rooms available to individuals returning from the United Kingdom. The government will make a contribution of up to £250 a week towards the cost of the accommodation, which the provider will bill government for directly. Any costs beyond this amount will need to be met by the individual. Now, I want to be clear, this will be a one-off package of support, so it can only be used once. This decision has been made today, and so there are several elements of the scheme currently being finalised. More details will be released by tomorrow night. Please bear with us until we finalise this, and please do not contact the COVID 111 service or the Travel Notification Service for details. Turning to other developments this week, you will have seen encouraging news on the vaccination front. One of the many COVID vaccines being developed has been tested on more than 40,000 people in 6 countries with no safety concerns raised. There is still a way to go in the approval process, but it represents a significant milestone along the road to developing a safe and effective vaccine. We must bear in mind, however, that a mass vaccination programme is still some way off. But planning is well underway here in the Isle of Man to ensure that we can deliver a programme effectively and efficiently when the time comes. We will continue to work closely with the UK NHS in the coming weeks and months. This development offers a glimmer of hope for 2021, and it is a tribute to the incredible work underway by so many scientists. Despite this promising sign, we cannot allow complacency to creep in. We cannot let our guard down, and so we must continue to adhere to the basics if we are to keep our community safe. Being aware of the signs and symptoms of COVID-19 so we know when to dial 111 to request advice or a test, practicing good hand and respiratory hygiene, self-isolating for 14 days when instructed to do so. These basic measures continue to play a vital role in the fight against the virus for some time to come. Now to questions from the media, and I would like to remind everyone that for reasons of patient confidentiality, we cannot be drawn on individual cases and their circumstances. My thanks for your understanding on this point. And first we have today is Sam Turton from Isle of Man Newspapers. Good afternoon, Sam. Fast am I?
Fast am I, Chief Minister. Start there, please, on the requirement for people to isolate as a whole household now, unless they're able to go into this accommodation. Will this include people who attend medical appointments in the UK, particularly those who are going on a regular basis? For instance, this could potentially leave children facing exams next summer, being in the situation of either living away from their parents or being off school for considerable time if somebody in the household has to go off island even every month.
Yeah, thanks for the question, Sam. We have thought that through. At this moment in time, there is an exemption from the individual not to have to isolate for the 14 days, but have a test after 7. Now, there is a very small number of these people, and we will be offering that to the family to have the test for 7 days if they're living. It's a very small number of people, but we cannot have whole families in continual isolation. So for those that are having, if you're just going away once every now and then, that's not available. But if you're one of those small number of people who are off island every few couple of weeks, then you still have that isolation, the opportunity to have the 7-day test available, and that will be extended to their family members.
Thank you. And just secondly, we've had the issues surrounding the dare I say, Manx whispers that have been going around in Douglas this week regarding officers. And the officer in particular has put out a statement criticising the lack of the ability to bend some of the rules, perhaps in terms of where things like this have come in place. Are the rules a bit too stringent on when testing is available for people? And is this something that's being considered given what has happened this week?
Right, well, that's not something I get directly involved with, so maybe if I could ask David, who might want to bring in Henrietta.
Yeah, if I could start, please, Sam, by just saying that basically the rules are correct for testing. We do test high-risk contacts. The person in place was not a high-risk contact. The business quite rightly decided to make a decision. They were looking as well, from the article I've seen, for some wider testing as well, which they could do under private testing if they wish to commission it. But in terms of the DHSC testing, at the moment, we do not have the ability or the virus to deliver private testing. Even if the money is refunded, we can only do so for specified circumstances. But in terms of the testing regime around close contacts, we are confident that is appropriate, and I believe the individual concerned started out as an associate of an original positive case. Then there was a close contact who also tested positive, and they were a close contact of that. So there was a chain down, but we believe the testing was done appropriately. I'll bring the Director of Public Health in case she's got anything to add.
Yes, really just to support what Minister Ashford has just said there, and also to say that usually having a close contact associated with a setting would not be an indication for public health to recommend any changes or closures or anything else at that setting. However, when it's a self-standing business, it is obviously quite right that they make their own risk assessment and decide accordingly. But we didn't advise in that case.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Sam. Next, we have Alex Bell from BBC Isle of Man. Good afternoon, Alex Fastamai.
Good afternoon. First question just centres on the announcement about self-isolation rules that you've made there. That this is probably going to have a major impact on students going home for Christmas. There'll be students, I imagine, who would plan to isolate at home but will now have to find suitable alternative arrangements. Can we be absolutely sure that there will be no students who are unable to find suitable arrangements? In other words, will you be doing everything to help every student find suitable accommodation outside the home if they need to?
Well, thanks for the question, Alex. And I mean, obviously, there was always going to be a problem with students coming back who are living in the UK. A large number have come back already, and I know personally that a large number have been self-isolating in self-catering accommodation. So this isn't something new. What we're offering is that we will work with the private sector, the providers, to provide accommodation where we will pay either all or a high percentage of those costs dependent on where the students stay. Now, we're not forcing students to stay away from home. If they want to isolate at home, then they can do, but that means the entire household will have to isolate at the same time. So we are giving people the opportunity to do what a large number of other students have already done, and that's isolate away from the household that they're wanting to come to for 14 days before they go home. We think that is a sensible precaution given the increase in cases, etc., in the United Kingdom, which I've already alluded to, and we will do our utmost to make sure that all students have somewhere to go should they wish to avail themselves of that offer.
Okay, thank you. This one's probably more for the Health Minister. Certainly over the last 48 hours, the Manx rumour mill's been in full swing, hasn't it, surrounding office closures and so-called community transmission. It did take a whole day yesterday for government to clarify even a little bit of information about those two cases, and indeed up until just a few moments ago for the Chief Minister to clarify that there had been a cluster in the Manx community. Now, Mr. Ashford, you told Manx Radio earlier that people should think twice before posting online unless they have verified facts from government. Do you accept the government should be quicker with providing clear and relevant public information?
Well, you mentioned they're clear and relevant, but the other thing is it needs to be accurate. And one of the things we have said all along is we will make these announcements as early as possible. If we'd had all of the relevant information around the cluster last night, then we could well have held a press briefing last night. But we were still awaiting test results and have been until today from high-risk contacts. And we wanted to have that back so that we could give the most up-to-date information. Unfortunately, there will always be rumours, and I stand by everything I said in that interview yesterday with Manx Radio, where I made absolutely clear that speculation can go absolutely wild online. It worries an awful lot of people. We, as the Chief Minister said at the start of his speech, we have always been open and honest. We've always tried to be open and honest and give the facts as soon as we have them. But there is no point us going out with statements simply saying we think this is the case, this is where we're looking at now, because that just generates more questions than it does answers, and that could actually send speculation further. So we were waiting high-risk contact tracing to coming back, which we got today, which has allowed us to make the announcement we have this afternoon.
Okay, but when you use terminology like it doesn't count as community transmission and then clarify that 24 hours later, that does, you must accept, send rumours into overdrive.
Well, no, it doesn't class as community transmission, and we've explained the reason why. But what it does account as is there's been acquisition in a local setting. Now, there might be a distinction, but it is a very important distinction. But equally, the other thing is, like I say, we needed the facts of those cases to check that it was one cluster, that there wasn't other high-risk contacts that were going to test positive, that there wasn't anything else emerging. And as the Chief Minister has said, we've got most of the high-risk contacts back now, and we know that it hasn't spread any wider. Currently, we are confident at the moment that it is contained. And it was important that we had that messaging to be able to get across today, rather than continuously coming out with statements saying, this is where we are now, this is where we are now, this is where we are now, because that will just get public speculation going even further and causing great worry to a lot of people.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alex. Now we move on to Leanne Cook from 3FM. Good afternoon, Leanne Fastamai.
Good afternoon. My first question, just quickly, could you clarify why the decision for every member of the household having to isolate if someone returns from the UK comes into force a week today from next Thursday?
Well, we have to give people notice. We have to get our procedures in place to ensure that we can carry it out properly. Really, it's not something you can just do over, you know, cause to happen to people instantly. So it's trying to give people notice. Admittedly, it's only a week, but we're trying to enable people to prepare themselves. And maybe you might not wish to go away if you think you're going to have to isolate the whole family for 14 days. I don't know, David, if you want to expand on anything there.
Yeah, so in relation to that, we think it is important, since we are changing, should we say, moving the goalposts, should we say, for people, that they do have that opportunity. There will be many people who have already booked back to the island in the next week, or who may already be in transit from certain areas, where this could have an absolutely huge impact on them. It also gives people the opportunity that if they decide as a result they don't now want to travel off island, to actually sort that out. We've always tried wherever possible, although in the early days of the pandemic with everything changing it wasn't always possible, to give notice of our decisions so that people can make appropriate arrangements. And I think it's only fair and right we do that on this occasion.
Yeah, if I could just clarify, and this isn't the first time that we've given notice to people to let them know. You know, it's something we've tried to do time and time again, to be reasonable. Your next question, okay. Leanne.
Thank you. My second question, I know you've just spoken about giving £250 a week towards accommodation, but will the government consider reintroducing other initiatives such as a salary support scheme, as people will have to miss work if they have a member of their household returning from the UK and they have to isolate?
Well, that's something someone's taken on board when they go away. And now the reasons you can go away are very limited now, given the restrictions that the England and parts of the United Kingdom have put in place. If there is a need for support, those measures are still there. If you have to isolate and you have no income coming in, then Social Security are there to help people. But we're not talking about a big number of people. People factor that in when they choose to go away. But as I say, there's a very small amount of reasons that you can go away for. Now, you can't go away on holiday, for example, which a number of people were doing before.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. And next we have Paul Moulton from Isle of Man Television. Good afternoon, Paul. Fast am I.
Good afternoon, Chief Minister. I'd like to look at the timeline now, because this is very important, because Claire Barber did an interview with me today saying that you knew on Tuesday about these cases, yet you didn't release information until about 7:15 on Wednesday night. And this followed me and many others were, by that stage, had fairly good feedback from people that there was something going on. Can you confirm that this is the case, that you knew on Tuesday what was going on?
I'll let David answer that one.
Yeah, I'll bring the Director of Public Health on in a minute. But, Paul, from my point of view, when tests come back, it's not just the tests, we then do the contact tracing. Information isn't released on cases until we have done the contact tracing, because we need to know where the person's been. We need to know who's been associated with that person. This is no different to any other situation we've had throughout the pandemic. We announce cases as and when they become available to be announced, and that is precisely what we've done. They have been timed in line with our release schedule when we do the updates. And that hasn't changed at all. I didn't. I can confirm I was not aware of the cases until yesterday. But I will bring the Director of Public Health in case she has any further information on the timelines.
Yes, this depends on the reporting time from the lab, which wasn't until late evening. And by the time the contact tracers were working on it, we were into the very late evening. And we reached the point of sort of 10 o'clock and later when it was too late to finish off the contact tracing. So that's why it was completed the next morning. Obviously, those that could be completed on the evening were, but it wasn't possible to complete them all. And therefore, the whole picture wasn't known. However, obviously, those who were identified were immediately self-isolated and tests were arranged for the following day. So there was nothing of any public use or interest to release at that point, I would say.
Okay. When on Wednesday morning did you complete your tests?
The tests weren't completed on Wednesday morning, but contact tracing was, and then obviously people have to book through and get the tests. The point about that being, of course, is that people have been taken out of the community through self-isolation before they have the tests, so the risk to others is already mitigated at that point. And again, that's not something that the public actually need to be made aware of in terms of it being useful information for them.
Don't you think the public should have known before? Well, it's not for you to answer this one, it's for the politicians. Should they not have been informed before 7:15 yesterday evening, when it was clearly running on all social media platforms everywhere that something was up?
Well, what was up, Paul, is that we had a number of cases of COVID-19. It wasn't from the definition being transmitted around the community. It was being traced back to someone who travelled off island, and therefore tests were having to be made. We have to go along with the advice of our medics on when to release the information. It's not something politicians should ever get involved in, as to, you know, we certainly don't hold back on information from the public. When we can provide the information, we do so. But a number of tests have to be made and checks have to be made to verify the information. I don't, David, if you want to add anything to that.
Yeah, if I could, Chief Minister, this goes back to the answer I just gave Alex before. It's important we have full picture information when we release things, because otherwise it just generates more questions. If we just put out we've got another two cases and then we can't say anything whatsoever, so around contact tracing, which may still be being verified, testing that is still underway, then it doesn't add anything. If anything, it just causes more confusion. So it is important that we have the full picture before we start announcing things. So particularly the announcement we've made today, we needed to have that information so we could be confident of what was happening within that cluster before we come out in order to be able to attempt to reassure the public.
Okay, because I put down it was in the community, then you got an email at 7:15 saying it wasn't in a community infection, all that. And now today, the Chief Minister, you have basically, I don't think it's an apology, but you have basically regretted what you said, maybe, or as a group.
You've got it wrong, Paul. The World Health Organization rules on what is a community spread is where you have a case, which they had in Guernsey, where they did not know where that case had come from. So therefore, it's not under the definition about the World Health Organization and what hundreds of countries use that definition. It is not a community spread infection, but it was an infection as a result. We knew straight away it tied back to someone who had travelled, and therefore it didn't meet the criteria But we were just trying, I'm just trying to be helpful and say, yes, someone has caught COVID on the Isle of Man from another person. Now, it doesn't meet with the compliance, with the phraseology of what the World Health Organization used, but we've just tried to be clear to people what's happened. Someone has travelled back to the island, someone has been infected as a result of that. We've done the test and we can trace straight away where that person has got COVID-19 from. In the Guernsey case, they didn't. They just did a routine test and found it, and that person had no history or even connection with someone who'd travelled. It's a clear difference. We've just tried to be helpful in our explanation.
Someone say you're splitting hairs. I mean, like someone said, it's like a lawyer paying out. You go through this fine print. It wasn't quite in the community, but in all effectiveness, it was. Can you not see that some people want you to be totally as transparent as you keep saying you want to be, but this doesn't do you any favours sometimes when you seem to be holding back? I'm sorry, but that's how it looks.
Well, it may look to you, Paul, but I have made it clear in my opening speech, and you know, if you want to listen to it again, do so, where I said, whilst the World Health Organization definition is means we haven't got it in the community, really, in my opinion, we do have a case of on-island transmission of the virus. So I'm just trying to be as helpful as possible, not hiding anything and being clear. If you choose to perceive that as, you know, different, then that's for you to decide. Right. Thank you, Paul. Now, our next question we have is from Simon Richardson, Business 365. Simon. You want to unmute, Simon?
My apologies. Firstly, some universities in the UK are currently testing or about to test students as they leave for Christmas. Now, if a Manx student tests positive in the UK before their return to the Isle of Man, will they be required to remain in quarantine in the UK for 2 weeks before they return to the Isle of Man?
Right, David, do you want to
give the person part? Has to comply with the quarantine rules in the place they are in, so they would have to comply with the UK rules around quarantine before they would be able to return to the Isle of Man.
And as a sort of supplementary to that, would you say that the return of students to the Isle of Man posts possibly the biggest challenge yet to our sort of biosecurity defences?
I actually think one of the important things is that I know there's a lot of public concern out there, and it's understandable, and it's a large volume of people potentially travelling back over a set period. But it is important we don't sort of demonise students and try and make it look like they're all going to disobey the rules. Lots of students have already travelled back to the island. They've been very, very sensible. I've spoken to parents where students have actually made their own arrangements to isolate outside of the household so they're not potentially exposing their families, even in some cases isolating in apartments, say with a group of friends, so it doesn't feel as isolated as it would otherwise. But so I think it is important we don't get that messaging wrong in sort of suggesting that students are going to be this group of people that are all going to break the rules and cause spread. It is logistically challenging, but that is why we've made along with the increase in the UK, the announcements we've done today, where the whole household will isolate. And equally, we've got packages of support that we're going to try and put in place to assist people. I think with the current spread in the UK, we have to take a risk-based approach. But I do think it is important that we don't demonise students and make out they're all going to be rule breakers and potentially cause widespread problems. Because certainly from the families I've spoken to and the students I've known that have come back, that certainly isn't the case.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't my intention to sort of demonise them. It was just a question of sheer numbers, really. Secondly, my second question is quite different and relates to the support currently being provided by government to businesses. Now, in particular, it appears that there are still a few cracks and some companies are sort of falling through the cracks. One, I think, relates to laundry businesses. I know at least one which is suffering hugely because of the loss of business from hotels and tourist premises. Obviously, they provide a public service and they employ people on the island. And in a situation where laundry machines, maybe at the hospital for any reason, were out of action, they would be expected to step in and provide emergency backup. Surely they should receive help in the same way as hotels and tourist businesses do.
Well, really, that's the Department for Enterprise working for the Treasury to decide. And if someone has a case where they feel unfairly treated, then I would urge them to contact the senior management of that department, of both those departments, to see if anything can be done to help out there. We regularly review cases of people who've maybe initially been turned down, whether that's from a tax return that's been missing, etc., or just a different definition, and sometimes additional evidence can help a business to get over the line from getting support from government. So I would urge them to contact, as I said, Department for Enterprise and the Treasury.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Simon. Next we have Ewan Gawne from Manx Radio. Good afternoon, Ewan. Fastamai.
Fastamai, Chief Minister. Considering you've announced support for people, returning residents who are seeking alternate accommodation, I just wondered how that sits with the earlier policy of making people pay to stay in the Comus Hotel, and whether as a result you'll be reimbursing those who had to pay to stay at the hotel.
Right, no, there's nothing backdated. This is a one-off scheme. Obviously, the vast number of recipients will be students coming back to the island from university, but it's a one-off scheme. We don't expect to repeat it, and we certainly won't be backdating.
Would you accept that the policy has been inconsistent?
We're faced with the realities. Throughout this COVID outbreak, there's been no manual where you get off the shelf a folder and say, page 3, subsection 5A, that's what you do to deal with the situation. We brought our people back in the early days via the hotel, and then when we felt we were on safer ground, we enabled people to go back home and self-isolate. And we've developed as we've gone along. We have a situation now where we have several hundred students who are off island coming back for to see their families at the end of the term. And this is our way of trying to help out in a difficult situation to stop whole households having to self-isolate so that normal life can go on. Our young people can go to school and people can go to work. In the early days, that wasn't available. Everyone was having to stay at home. I don't know, David, if you want to add anything.
Yeah, I think one of the big differences, Ewan, is that we've got to remember the Comus was a quarantine situation. This is self-isolation. They are two very, very different things. And also there was support for people in the Comus. Anyone who was under a certain income limit and met the condition for benefits actually had it paid for them. So we do have to remember there was support in that in place for Comus residents as well.
Okay. And your next question, Ewan.
Yes, thanks. I just wanted to ask, have you considered how disruptive the impact of potentially having hundreds of households out of action and self-isolating, say if the 900 or so students that we have overseas come back, have you sort of measured how much of an impact that could have? Because this could take people in all kinds of professions out of work for 2 weeks over the busy Christmas period.
Yeah, we have, Ewan, and that's why we've offered the two-week payment to help people self-isolate away from home so that households will be able to carry on as normal, so there won't be the several hundred households that have to totally shut down. They will be able to carry on as normal. That's why we went to great lengths to develop the scheme quickly to help with those families. It's already been happening. A significant number of young people that have come back have been self-isolating and self-catering in tourist accommodation, in hotels, etc. So we're just helping to expand this cover to do exactly what you're concerned about, help the families already on the Isle of Man from not having to entirely shut down for the 2 weeks.
Are you concerned about the knock-on effect on say, if there's teachers that are having to self-isolate, health workers, etc.? Is that not a concern?
Well, what is the difference, Ewan? If we've come up with a scheme which enables people to stay away from the household for the 2 weeks to isolate, then that household will not have to shut down, so it's business as usual. So
sorry, Chief Minister, to clarify, the impact on the workplace is not on the families themselves.
Well, you were going to have to isolate for 14 days anyway, Ewan, if you were coming back to the island. So I'm at pains to understand what you're trying to make out as the difference.
For example, if I'm a student and both my parents are teachers and I come back and the two teachers can't go to work for 2 weeks.
Well, that isn't the case, Ewan, is it? Because we're not saying you have to go home. We're saying that you can stay in a hotel or self-catering tourist accommodation business, so you're not at home and therefore your parents can go to work. That's why we're doing it.
But not everybody will take up that option.
But that's their choice. If we come up with a scheme, Ewan, that offers people the ability to self-isolate so the rest of the family can work and they don't choose to take that up, and we're giving a contribution towards the cost, then that really is up to the individual household. So I don't think, that's up to the individual. It's not a problem. Thank you very much. We move on to last but not least, Josh Stokes from ITV Granada. Josh, good afternoon. Faster Mai.
Good afternoon, Chief Minister. For many people, the self-isolating with family members in the same household was an obvious safety risk and one that was open to issues eventually. Why is it taking the government this long to detect this and make the change? Because it feels like it's almost another reactive measure off the back of the cluster this week, at a time when arguably the government should be making more proactive decisions on these things.
No, Josh, we've been looking at this for a couple of weeks now, making sure that we could get procedures in place to enable the smooth transition of people coming back, for whole households, as Ewan's just pointed out, not to have to shut down where maybe two teachers with a child coming home would have to stay at home. So we've, I think I've said in the past, we have been looking at this. We've come to a decision today because now we can put in place a procedure which enables the households to carry on as usual, because we've come up with a mechanism to enable the person coming back to self-isolate away from the home. So it's the sort of thing that you need to make sure you plan properly. That's what we've done, and that's why we've announced it today.
OK, off the back of that, this may be one a bit more for Dr. Ewers as well. How long have medics been advising that the whole household self-isolate when individuals return to the island, and why do you think the change is being made now?
Right. I can't speak for medics generally. I can only speak for public health. And the issue for public health is, as it always has been, that there is a balance of risks and benefits. And those change. They change over time as the context changes. And for us, as you know, since June, we have been in a very happy situation where we are locally free of COVID, which means we can live life as normal on island, no social distancing, no face coverings, no restriction on hospitality venues, gatherings or other things. The price we pay for that is restrictions at the border. Now, if we wanted to be as secure as we can COVID-free, we would do what they've done in New Zealand and Australia, which is keep the border virtually sealed, allow only very restricted movement across it, and require everybody who is allowed to enter to quarantine in government-supervised facilities for full 14 days and to test negative before they're allowed to go back out into the community. We've taken a slightly more relaxed view than that, or approach than that, which we know, and we've always known, does not guarantee that we won't see sporadic imported cases. We've always expected that, and obviously since around September we've been seeing it. The issue is, how much of that do we feel we can cope with on island before the risk of it receding widespread community transmission becomes too great? And that is a factor of the number of people coming across and the rates of infection in the places they're coming from. And that is why the whole context has changed over the last few weeks, as the rates have been rising so rapidly across. So my advice, and it's always advice, because at the end of the day, it's about risk assessment, risk appetite, and mitigation, is that the change in the numbers of infections across is what triggered a review here and what triggered my move as Director of Public Health to a position of saying that my advice would be to start thinking about returning to household self-isolation along with the returning traveller.
Okay, thank you. My second question for you, Chief Minister. Given England will be in a full lockdown until, as you previously said, at least the 2nd of December, are you able to confirm today that the Isle of Man borders will remain at level 4 for as long as England remains in lockdown? Because surely the two are somewhat parallel with each other.
Yes, well, obviously, when we make the decisions on making any change, we look at all sorts of data. So we obviously get advice from our medics, from our public health team. We also look at the capacity in hospital of the beds, the prison capacity, all sorts of data that we factor in when making a decision. Now, if the UK is in full lockdown, or certainly the United England at this moment in time, then I cannot see there being any change to our borders policy whilst this is happening. But obviously, we monitor it every week, every 2 weeks on the major decisions. And let's see what happens to the United Kingdom on the 2nd of December. I sincerely hope that as a result of the lockdown that they've done in the UK and the various different policies in Scotland, Northern Ireland and Wales, that they are in a significantly better position. I don't have a crystal ball, and we'll just have to follow events in the adjacent isles, and especially in the northwest, where we all tend to travel to the island from, and we'll keep you updated and everyone the minute we can, should there be any change. But at this moment in time, it's level 4 for our borders, and I can't see that changing for the foreseeable, until the UK situation significantly improves.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Josh. Thank you for all your questions, and that's all for today. Thank you all very much.